old junior high building in Moberly, and so that's where we're going to travel here today back in time.
That is, and I'd like to give the listeners a tour of the Moberly Junior High or the middle school. That's the building at the corner of Rollins and Johnson Street, and we're going to do it about 1958-59, so it's my time. I've dug out my old Dragonas, which were the yearbooks of the junior high at the time, and looked through that and just had a really good time remembering some of the things that went on. Now, in doing this, I hope that I won't just do a tour of the junior high, but it'll let the listeners remember their days in their school, whether it's a junior high or a high school or an elementary school. Let them remember their teachers and the staff that was there and the students that they knew. So hope it's a good memory for them as well. Now, it's timely that we do this tour this week because just in a few days, the old gymnasium portion of the present building on Rollins and Johnson is going to be raised. Now, the front part will not be bothered. So here we go. My tour again is set in September 1959. That's my eighth grade year, and I'm going to talk about my experiences in that building. First, I'd like to set the table a little bit in terms of historical facts about the site and the buildings that preceded the current building on that particular corner. The first Moberly School on the lot south of Tanny Hill was opened in March of 1877, and that building was very ornate. It had two tall towers, one on each end, three floors including the basement. The lower floor was for the elementary pupils, and the second floor was for the high school. Now, it was fondly remembered as Old Central, and we do have some photos that show that particular building at the Randolph County Historical Society on Clark Street, and they show this very imposing structure in 1881, which is a neat thing in itself to have photos that old. These photos are copied from old stereo opticon cards. If anybody had a viewfinder when they were a kid and they'd hold that to their eyes and watch the scenes go around, this is what the old stereo opticon cards were. But we had some pictures made off of those, and they're really fascinating. Now, Old Central was the first school on this site, and it was burned in a fire in 1895, and a second building was constructed there. And in 1918, a very beautiful gymnasium structure was added. A second fire took the school building again, but heroic efforts of the firemen saved the gym, and now a third building was added on to that old 1918 gym, and that is the building that stands there today. Now, many will recall the neighborhood schools in Moberly. And I have to tell about this because that leads up to being a junior higher. And they were called the Park Schools. There was North, South, East, West, and Central. And later, Southeast School was constructed. And all this was done so that students could walk to school from their homes. In fact, not only did they walk to and from school, but many children walked home for lunch and then back to school for the afternoon sessions. At one time, there were eight grades in each elementary school in Moberly, and each school had their own sports teams and their own bands, and the teams in the schools and the groups in the schools kind of interacted intramurally among themselves. At the time I graduated from East Park in 1958, there were only seven grades there, but there was still competition in basketball among those neighborhood schools. Now, graduation from the seventh grade was a big deal, and the schools would gather at the municipal auditorium for elementary graduation programs. Now, many of the listeners will recall one or more of their elementary teachers and the impact that those teachers had on their young lives. My memories, of course, recall all of my East Park teachers, including my seventh grade teacher and principal, Miss Mildred Armstrong. While teachers were kind of changing by 58, there were still many spinsters, I hate to call them old maids, but folks who chose not to marry. And their ambition in life was to instruct the kids in those schools, and many of them did a wonderful job of that. And I mention this only because that even when moving to the junior high, there were many women who remained unmarried and who taught at that level. We'll take a little break now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to take a tour through Moberly's Junior High.
All right, stick around. It's History on the Radio.
Escape to Greece for fun and sun and the music of ABBA. It's Mamma Mia at Maples Repertory Theater. Sophie is getting married and wants to invite her dad, but that proves harder than it might seem. 28 ABBA hits, including Dancing Queen, Super Trooper, and Take a Chance on Me, fill this great score, which will have you singing and dancing along. Get tickets now at maplesrep.com or by calling the box office at 660-385-2924 to Mamma Mia at Maples Repertory Theater, North Missouri's professional theater.
Orsulin Industries would like to wish everyone a happy 4th of July. Spend this uniquely American holiday the right way with family, great food, and fantastic summer fun. But remember to stay safe during the festivities and honor those who sacrifice so that we may have the freedoms we hold dear. Orsulin Industries is proud to be a part of the community. Fireworks and family are the hallmarks of Independence Day. And from their family to yours, happy 4th of July.
You could be one of five lucky winners of steaks or burgers during the Quick's, Crest, Kerr, KTCM, and Centromo Info's Happy 4th of July giveaway. Only register once from June 18th through July 1st on CentromoInfo.com. Just click on the Happy 4th of July giveaway banner to register. Sponsors are Kincaid Pharmacy in Centralia, Shelbina Villa in Shelbina, Hazard Elevator east of Monroe City, Meyer Implement in Monroe City and Bowling Green, Tri-County Tire and Repair in Monroe City, Rail of Macon in Kirksville, and Four Quarter Processing in Perry.
All right, with J.W. Ballinger, and what year are we picking up the tour here?
We're going to be in 1959, which would be my eighth grade year at the junior high. So we are here at Rollins and Johnson, and I tell you what, the students are in for a major change. No more are they staying in one room all day with one teacher who they really got to know during that year, but now we're moving from room to room with a new personality and a new character to learn each hour of the school day. So we're not walking from our homes or our neighborhood school anymore either, with its familiar rooms and familiar teachers. Rather, I'm riding to school now. My mother, who worked at the ASCS office, which is on Reed Street, and that's currently the Chamber of Commerce location, and my father heads for the Wabash Depot to work on the second floor there. But I ride to school, and I go to my mother's office, and I'm all dressed up. It's not the old blue jeans with the rolled-up cuffs anymore. I've got a pair of pressed pants and a nice dress shirt. I'm carrying a little briefcase with pencils, paper, and other supplies. And I stop at my mother's office, and then when the time comes, I get up and head down to the junior high school. Now, I'm already nervous as I walk up the front steps of junior high because it's a new situation. And there are many upper-class students, the 9th and 10th graders, the big guys and big gals, who I don't know. And so I'm really lucky if on my way to the front door I see a few familiar faces from East Park or perhaps others that I've played baseball with during the summer. I head in those big front doors, and it is a big building. And I head to my locker. Now, East Park was familiar to me after going there for 7 years, but this building is huge, it's crowded, it's filled with what I consider big challenges. So I find my locker, I remember my combination, and then I move inside the building. The first thing I notice is a big sign above the ramp right there in the center of the hallway. Now, I'll talk about that later because we were soon required to memorize what was said on that big sign by one of our school's instructors. Now, here's what it said. Quote, "For when the one great scorer comes to write against your name, he writes not that you won or lost, but how you played the game." Now, that's had a lot of impact on me. To the left as I go in, near my locker, is the office of the principal, W.L. Curtwright. Fortunately, I was never crossways with Mr. Curtwright, however, I did hear from others that he had a reputation for being fairly stern, absolutely firm, but also fair. Now, got a little sweat on my brow, but I got my appropriate books, I hope, and I'm off to my first class. It's up the ramp and then down the steps toward the lower area of the old gymnasium near where the study hall was. My first class is math, and it's taught by a new teacher by the name of Keith Rapp. I always liked Mr. Rapp. However, since he was new, some of my classmates thought they could take advantages during the class. One of my friends seemed to have a penchant for things falling out from under his chair, and this happened on this particular day more than once, and Mr. Rapp was forced to punish my friend, and he did this by standing him in a corner with his nose right in that corner, with the offending items that kept falling out of his desk on top of his head, and he had to stand there for the rest of the class. Now, these items were two tin cans that we were asked to bring to school, and that'll become part of the story as we go on. Now, study hall, right down the road from this class, was a particularly difficult time during school. It was a time that you were supposed to study, but it was also a time where people could get in trouble with the study hall monitor. My skirmish with this particular instructor began very early. Quiet was absolutely required condition, and my friend Mike, who sat behind me, caused me to be noticed by the monitor while passing him a pencil. He kept pestering me. "Ballinger, I need a pencil. I need a pencil." So the lady came back. She gave me what was called seventh hour because I was squirming and talking and turning around. And so that evening I returned to study hall after classes before going home for my special time with her. Sat there, did my homework, left when it was allowed, on to the next day. So the following day I conducted myself without notice in the study hall, so there were no further ordeals, and I did not return to seventh hour that day. Guess what? I guess I didn't read my student handbook quite as carefully as I should have. And as I got to study hall the next day, the monitor came up to my desk and informed me that seventh hour, when given, was for one whole week. So my eighth grade experience began with not one, but 2 weeks of seventh hour with the study hall. Another of my teachers taught eighth grade English, which included the dreaded diction drill. 50 of the most mispronounced and misspelled words the first semester we were required, and another 50 during the second semester. You had to stand in front of the class, speaking the words correctly, pronouncing them correctly, and then spelling them. It was a very stressful experience, but it is one that is remembered not only by me, but is remembered fondly by many people who return for class reunions, the old diction drill. Now, this lady that was in that class was Mary Sheehan, and many of you have had her as a teacher. Miss Sheehan was very prim and very proper. In fact, had a saying that when you misspelled something or you said a word that wasn't proper English, she would holler, "Horrors, you barbarian." But there's one particular story that Carol Gerard passed on to me that I think is just wonderful about Miss Sheehan and her work as a teacher. After she retired, she had time to do some things she liked to do, and on one particular day she was going to go downtown Moberly to shop. She called a taxi. The taxi pulled up in front of her apartment, honked its horn, she goes out, she gets in the back seat, the taxi driver turns around and says, "Ain't you Miss Sheehan?" She said, "Yes, I'm Miss Sheehan." He said, "You taught me English." Her retort was, "Well, apparently not very well." So there are all kinds of stories like that about some of these teachers. Now, remember when I talked about the student friend of mine whose cans kept falling out from under his desk? My next class is shop, and we're making projects. And many who attended were making a footstool, a small shelf, or, from those tin cans, a noisy pin tray. It was this teacher who took his class up to the front hall to memorize that verse I mentioned earlier. There was also citizenship class, where one of my favorite teachers held court. And with her 4-foot yardstick, she controlled very well the north end of the second floor. And another favorite teacher of mine, but not necessarily my favorite class, was Latin 1 and Latin 2. We'll take another break, and we'll get back with our tour in a moment.
All right. It's History on the Radio, 12 minutes before 9 o'clock.
Keeping you connected, Sheraton Valley. Now's the perfect time to visit your smartphone headquarters at Sheraton Valley.
The count is 3-2 with the bases loaded and your pitch-by-pitch app is frozen. Do you find that frustrating? Then it's time for a change. Make the switch to Sheraton Valley today. Stop in to your Sheraton Valley location or view all their services online at cvalley.net. Keep yourself connected with Sheraton Valley's nationwide 4G LTE network.
Controlled Air Heating and Cooling LLC is your certified Rheem and Lennox sales and service center in Moberly. Trust Controlled Air Heating and Cooling for all your heating and cooling needs for your home or work. Controlled Air Heating and Cooling can help with humidification, air filtration, fireplace installation, and repair. Call 263-5620 for free estimates on sheet metal fabrication or emergency services. Stop by their new showroom at 1123 Gillen Road right behind Thomas Motors. Controlled Air, if you can't control it, they didn't install it.
From May to October in 1993, disaster struck, with $15 billion in damages and covering a 745-mile radius. The Great Flood of 93 will be remembered by all. Hoeing Trucking of Canton, Audrain County Title Company of Mexico and Northeast Missouri Title of Montgomery City, Central Christian College Bookstore, and Arts Appliance, Furniture, Electronics, and Flooring, both of Moberly, would like to take the time to remember all those who lost homes and businesses during the Great Flood of 93.
All right, let's rejoin J.W. Ballinger as we continue taking a look at the old junior high building.
Well, I'd love to take a tour of each and every room, but there's probably not enough time this morning, so I'm just going to mention a few places. There were classes like home economics, science and history. Of course, I've mentioned our principal, Mr. Curtwright. Now I'd like to mention a few of the teachers from my memory at Moberly Junior High. There was Narlee McAllister, affectionately known as Mama McAllister, who taught world history. There was Ms. Faye McCart, a very attractive redheaded lady who taught Social Security. Of course, there was Mr. Travis Peebler in shop, and you learned quite a lot from him. I mentioned Keith Rapp, the math teacher. There was Hope Shepperly that taught art. Don Schaefer, who was the band leader. Claudine Triplett, who taught chorus. Joe Villers was the phys ed instructor. Edith Eisenstein did home economics. And, of course, there was Miss Virginia Martin in the library. Now, Lewis Patton taught both math and general science, a really nice man. Miss Leona Shell, who was a school nurse. Mary Shin, English. Helen Skirvind was a study hall monitor. And Miss Hickerson, Emily Hickerson, along with many other names that were there in that 58, 59, 60 period. Now, you're invited to come by the Randolph County Historical Society to see our junior high yearbooks and other information. The junior high yearbook was called the Dragona, and that's because the teams were the Dragons. That was the upper level, the 10th grade teams, 9th and 10th. So you can come by and you can read the Dragona, and you can see your favorite teacher. You can look at your favorite classmate, how they looked in 58, 59, and 60. And in some cases, in the yearbooks, you can read comments that other students left for the particular owner of that book, which are really interesting. Now, you can also enjoy the photos of sports and the many other activities that happened at the school, not only the yearbook, but the school paper and all the various programs that they had. Again, the teams were called the Dragons in the upper class, and guess what? In the eighth grade, they were called the Lizards. Also, I'd like to remember the gymnasium. It is the reason that we're taking this walk down memory lane. That structure, designed by Moberly architect Ludwig Opt, was, to use the phrase at the time, the bee's knees when it was built. It was absolutely a wonderful basketball and gathering arena. It had large classrooms on the lower level with the office of the assistant superintendent, also located down there, Mr. Gilbert Brown. It contained a basement with a huge furnace and air handling system for both buildings. On the second level, the basketball court with its curved east end extending out onto the court. It had a stage and locker rooms for both the boys and girls. And on the third floor were three rows of seating where the crowds could yell across the floor at each other, much like they did in the movie Hoosiers. Also on that third floor, there were the basket rooms, that is, a place where people took their street clothes and put them in a basket, put on their gym clothes, went to the locker room and then went to do whatever was going on in phys ed or to play outside on the cinder-covered lot to the west. Now, this particular building was used by the Mobley School District into the 80s and then was closed. And sadly, soon that historic gem is to be razed so that the school building can later be turned into living space for seniors. It's a time of nostalgia for that particularly. An awful lot of memories rush through those of us who went through that building this week working on some projects, trying to save a few things out of it. And we will be sad to see it go, but things must move ahead.
All right. That's J.W. Ballinger. We've got a few minutes. If you would like to come along our trip down memory lane in the old junior high building, you can give us a call here this morning and ask a question or give your memory. We've got about 5 minutes, so get on the phone if you care to do so, 263-2424. You can call the Sheridan Valley line, 388-6424 or 800-892-2300.
This is Discover Nature Notes with the Missouri Department of Conservation.
A journey to exotic places and riding the wind are part of life for some animals, but a first birthday is not. The monarch butterfly travels over 1,000 miles to Mexico when it's just 3 or 4 months old to mate and lay eggs for the next generation. Despite this excitement, they won't live to see their first birthday. Some larger animals, like the red fox and red-tailed hawk, can live a long time in captivity, but in the fast lane of the natural world, life for most birds and mammals is an adventure in survival. Box turtles live longer but quieter lives. While most Missouri turtles live 15 to 30 years, box turtles can live between 50 and 80 years, often sticking close to home and spending half their time hibernating.
Discover more by signing up today at discovernaturenotes.com.
The Missouri Department of Conservation, serving nature and you.
And we go to you. You're with J.W. Ballinger.
Yeah, J.W., what I liked about that high school was at lunch we'd run down to Mary Ann's sandwich shop, try to beat the crowd, get down there and get a seat.
Absolutely. And not only Mary Ann's, but Dowdy's Luncheonette.
Yeah.
And I mean to tell you, there were people that made a mad dash out of there when the bell rang in order to get the seat and save a seat for their classmates. That is a neat memory. Thank you.
Yeah, that's where I worked at Dowdy's Restaurant. That was my first job.
Really? Okay.
After high school.
All right.
Hey, thanks for the memory.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate that. Let's go to the Moberly line. You're on with J.W. Ballinger.
Hi. I probably missed out somewhere, but why is it necessary to tear the gym off of there?
The building was built in 1918, has had very little maintenance and upkeep for the last 15 or 20 years. It's just too expensive, so we're told, to rehab for senior housing, so it's less expensive to tear it down.
Oh, well, I'd think the gym would come in handy with even senior citizens.
We would too, but of course there is a lot of damage.
There's a price to
be. There's a price to
pay for something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Open phones here this morning with J.W. Ballinger for just a couple of more minutes. So with the gymnasium, did they play? So there was high school games there, right?
Junior high games. Yeah.
They were junior high games.
Eighth, ninth, right? And 10th grade.
Because the high school was.
High school is at the college.
College,
yeah,
right?
You went to grades 11 and 12 and went right on to 13 and 14 at the junior college, and that was in the
high
late
school
20s.
Play there at the junior college then?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's where the games were in the Coliseum.
And they were called the Pups.
Pups, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hi, you're on the air with J.W.
Yes. You didn't mention Ms. Hunter, the citizenship teacher.
I didn't, and Marjorie Hunter was the lady with the 4-foot yardstick. Let me tell you a story. She used to say, and she told me this at our church one time after she had retired, she said, J.W., I always knew when trouble was brewing on the second floor. She said, you would come in and sit down at your desk in my room, and I knew it was time to find my 4-foot yardstick and head out in the hall. And she was pretty good about taking care of any problems that came up. Marjorie Hunter was a wonderful person.
Yes, she was.
Hey, thanks for the memory.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else want to call in here? We've got open phones for a few more minutes. While we wait for any more calls, what else did you want to mention?
Oh, just going to mention some things that we've acquired at the Historical Society. We were fortunate to get some of the old decorative glass panels out of Hardee's. They have remodeled a couple times, and their manager is moving on to another job, and he wanted to clean out his basement. So we have all those etchings that they had out there. One is the Wabash Hospital. One is the Wabash Railroad. The other is Merchants Hotel, and the fourth one is Reed's Corner. So we're trying to figure out how to place those heavy glass etchings in some kind of frame that we can display them. And when we do, we'll have an open house up at the Historical Society. You can come and see them now. They're laying on the table. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing. We've also received recently a whole box of Wabash items from an estate. We have new bookcases for our genealogy and family history, making it more easy to look up your family history. And we have in categories now lots of audio and video interviews from around the Randolph County. And if you want to take a tour of East Park School on video, you can do that. If you want to listen to people like Bob Wilcox and others on audio, you can do that. So come and just find your favorite person and sit down and listen to some old stories.
All right. JW, thanks for coming on with
us. Thank you for having me.
All right. That is History on the Radio on Information Radio Quix, KWIX AM Moberly, KWIX FM Cairo. It's 9 o'clock.